You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Ahoy, hoy.
Anthony Askew.
Hello.
Dwayne Maloney.
Hello.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Setsu Lessi Part 1. But first, the week in JoJo's news, such that it was... There was very little JoJo's news this week. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 1 got a physical release.
All right.
In America. There you go. That's the week in JoJo's news.
Whereas there's too much on top of things. You're like, you're probably like getting like news they were planned to put out for like next couple of weeks.
I was getting news from October for some reason. So it may have just been that Google Alerts was playing silly buggers.
From October 2015.
In which case, good news, Niall, there's a new series of JoJo's starting in January.
All right. Part 5, here we come.
Is there no, like, lists or anything? Like,
no,
a second and
no,
some list?
No, there was lots of articles where JoJo's was mentioned as, like, this is a bit like JoJo's, but nothing really JoJo's related. It was all the same things we talked about last week. Like, and, of course, probably minutes after we finish recording this podcast, something will come in my email, which will be brand new and exciting.
It'll be huge. God.
More baby names.
So, that gives us much more time to talk about Polymer F's Wang. Dwayne, you're doing the synopsis this week.
I'm going to talk as little about that as possible, if I can help it.
So, take it away.
Right, so, we start off with some adorable children playing, I guess, like, you know, mud pie kind of games, which I think, that's adorable. And then I instantly thought, this is JoJo, so they're probably going to be murdered in a second, so I was really worried. And as soon as one of the kids bumps into a guy, and spills mud on his legs, and he's being super nice, but this guy has, like, old lady glasses, pigtails, and bells in his hair, so you know he's a bad guy, a stand user. And then once he realizes, he asks, he's like, where's your mammy? Oh, where's your daddy? They're not around. Right, I can beat the shit out of you. What a bastard. But anyway, so he goes off. He's this vindictive, assholey guy. That's the shadow stand user we've seen in the last episode. And, Polymer F is kind of on the ball here. Because he actually kind of spots him sneaking along. It kind of cuts to Iggy wandering off and not helping in the fight from the previous episode. What a dick. But anyway, Polnerf sees the stand user coming like a mile away. Jotaro doesn't spot him at all because he's freaking crap. But he manages, he threatens the dude. The dude very poorly pretends that, is it Alessi? Yeah, Alessi.
Before he'd done this, he was talking to himself about how underhand he was going to be, how sneaky he was going to be to kill Jotaro and Polymer.
Yeah, showing off to the audience that I guess he's going to be like really good. His powers are great, I guess. So kind of, I don't know, hinting that he's better than he is. But so yeah, Polymer manages basically threatens him with Star Platinum to stab him up because he knows for a fact this dude is totally a Sand
Silver
user.
Chariot.
Yeah. With Silver Chariot, obviously. Because that would be kind of weird if you just stabbed him up with a knife in the street.
Well, no, you said he was threatened with Star Platinum.
Oh, sorry. Star Platinum is nowhere to be seen.
I'll get my mate stand onto you.
Well, he might have to do that later, but anyway. He managed to hop out of the way in pretty style and fashion, but as he's chasing the dude, Alessi, who runs down some CG back alleys and stuff, Polymer notices his perspective is slightly shifting, and then he manages to run into what appears to be a giant. Also, his voice has gotten really high-pitched. I wonder why. His perspective has kind of shifted, and he thinks he's in a land of giants or something for a second. Then he realizes, oh, wait, I've been turned into a little kid. When he sees Jotaro on the street, he calls out to him, but then he doesn't remember his name because his mind is also regressing to his mind as a child. So he doesn't remember things he knows as an adult. So, I don't know, that's like time travel or something. It's very odd. And so Alessi decides to kick him into an alley and somehow manages to get him caught on the ceiling of an alley with pipes on it or something like that.
It's like an awning for a shop or something.
Yeah. I guess it's just where like the water's coming through. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. His stand, like it much, like I thought it was quite clever. He actually brought like a gun. So he pulls. He pulls a gun and puts a silencer on it out of his jacket. I was like, why don't all the bad guy stand users also have a gun?
He brought the Emperor.
Yeah, but bring a real gun too.
He technically has two stands right now. His own stand and also the Emperor. Or the Emperor Light anyway.
Emperor Light.
But the bullets are deflected by Silver Chariot. And we're like, oh, we still have Silver Chariot. But Silver Chariot is an adorable child version, which has its own sound effect now.
Pammy, Pammy?
Did it always say that? I don't think it ever said anything.
Hobbits. I don't think it's ever said anything.
Yeah. Hmm. But anyway, when that doesn't work, he pulls out an axe out of the other side of his jacket, which I guess its name is AX. And he uses his stand to kind of stretch up, and the shadow of the stand, the shadow of the axe, the stand can also use as an axe. It kind of pops out of the, whatever it's being a shadow on. So yeah, that happens. And then, oh, crap, I can't remember how Polnareff gets out of that. Oh, he actually, he deflects it with Chariot's blade, which pops off, and your man's laughing away. He's like, ah, you're so useless. And then it flies into the side of his neck.
Yeah, same trick as Anubis.
Except he starts breaking down and crying like a child, which is kind of great. Polnareff manages to run away, gets caught by some lady, and is like, hey, where's your mom and dad? Oh, I'll take you home and wash you. And then there's a very disturbing sequence where, I don't know, Polnareff is like, I should be feeling things that aren't there. And then we get to look at Polnareff's child dick, which is...
Oh, come on. I was going to say, tell us how it is, but...
No, that's just what happens. And it's just like, this is an entirely weird situation. It's only made slightly better by Polnareff acting more and more like a baby as it goes on. So it's like, okay, this isn't as weird as it was. It's still pretty weird. And so, yeah, he realizes that he went off with her because he won't attack while there's... Alessi won't attack while there's an adult around because he just wants to beat up little kids. Asshole. But while she's shampooing his hair, at some point, Alessi slid his shadow under the thing and started shampooing Polnareff's hair just to be weird, just to make it super weird for everybody.
He's not a weirdo. He knows people think he's a weirdo, so therefore he's not a weirdo.
No, that's not how it works.
That's how his logic works.
Yeah, so we're left with Polnareff about to be, again, axed by Alessi's stand. I think I covered most things there.
I think you did, yes.
Oh, Iggy stole someone's kebab.
Yeah, that's an important plot point. Iggy was getting his breakfast, even if nobody else was.
Not helping Joseph and... I don't know my name.
Abdal.
Yeah, Joseph and Abdal getting attacked in last week's episode. They reused a bit of animation there. I was wondering whether they were sparing it or what. But it was mostly just shots of Iggy just going like, I'm not helping him. Jerk.
You guys are in a real fix right there. But, you shouldn't have got out of control. I'll leave you to it.
It's the nonplussed look on his face.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm loving how much Iggy's a dick. Just every time you see him, he's doing something. He's just like, why did they get this guy? He's not helping.
He's the foreman, you know, he's just kind of supervised and saying, go walk over there, guys.
So, yeah, I think that's most of it. Did I forget anything, or...?
I think that's the general gist of it. Mm. So, did you think it was a very good episode?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love the perspective shots. I think that was so well done. And obviously I knew what was going to happen now, but nothing was kind of a shock, but it just looks, it was very, very clever to use it, to keep it going for that long and kind of get the dog licking his face and whatnot. It looked good. And see his like first person view.
The perspective of the dude on the bicycle seemed really odd. The guy who nearly runs Polnareff over on his bike. I don't know, maybe it's just the fact a big muscly dude on a bicycle looks weird. man, yeah, it was quite fun. Also, Polnareff, as a child, appeared to have, what's his name from the last arc? Stroheim's haircut.
Yeah, I guess it's the less Guile haircut.
Yeah, it's less off, yeah. But now we know that hairstyle is pretty much all natural.
Yeah, it didn't even wash the thing.
It just grows that way.
Some people, like, you know, they have a natural kind of side parting or center parting. Polnareff just goes straight up. That's just the way of it.
It all grows at the exact same rate, straight up, completely flat.
And he also had very, very big buck teeth as well as a child.
Oh, yeah, very like, cute.
Pretty ugly kid.
Oh, dear.
I would like to watch like a Shin-chan style comedy with young Polnareff.
Well, the second half of this episode pretty much was
I
that.
Hope, yeah, it was. It was.
Like, this goes that's really true. Good, but I don't know why.
She washes his winky and it makes a little ding sound effect and... It was great. It's everything I'd want from a young Polnareff episode.
Would you want to watch a JoJo's Babies spin-off with all the characters as small children?
If it was kind of that borderline dodgy, yes. In the best way possible.
What would you do with the characters who are already children or babies?
They'd be adults. that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be like I couldn't remember. It would be like Freaky Friday, yes. So the Swamp Ages.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no. That's it. You got even Joseph is a baby, but he's also still got the beard.
Exactly. Of course.
Yeah.
That, okay. That's it. That or I walk. Okay.
That's a good idea, you know. DD JoJo's.
Is Iggy going to be a big dog?
I don't know, because he's a Boston Terrier, so I don't know whether that's supposed to be how he imagines an adult Boston Terrier to look, or whether he's a puppy, just a really tough puppy Boston Terrier.
He'd be a cat.
He did steal a kebab as big as his own torso.
Well, he does have a stand. I want to see more of Ziggy's stand. I know now is not the time, but...
How do you know it's not there the whole time? It's made of sand.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's the JoJo's pet fight coming up in a little while, so... Could see more of them then.
Anything else? The voice actress playing young Polnareff is Ayumi Fujimura, who is in lots of things I did not watch. But the one thing I did watch, where she was playing a similar character, is Kill la Kill, where she was Mako's little brother.
Yeah, Mataro. Yeah. I think that's the only thing I've seen here. Oh, I know he was in Shin Mazinger, the Z-end, the giant robot with Mazinger.
As the little brother.
Ashiro Kabuto, yeah.
I'm going to assume most of these ones, which aren't a woman's name, she was playing young boys.
Yes. Rambunctious little scamp, I guess. Yeah. As I mentioned last week, in case you missed it last week, and if so, shame on you, but Alessi is voiced by Masaya Onosaka, who is probably best known for playing the one and only Vash Stampede.
Oh, I see. She was also knee socks in Panty and Stocking.
All right.
The evil versions of them.
So, Alessi's named after, a pop duo?
The Alessi brothers, I think we mentioned last week. Not as I was claiming on Twitter, the Alessi twins from Neighbours.
That would have been great, though. Just out himself as a Neighbours fan.
I don't know if they get Neighbours in Japan. They might do, because it's quite close geographically.
Oh, you know, it's the same as here. Like, they just bring it over, and they don't change it at all. It's just like, here, it's a soap, it'll do.
They don't even subtitle it. They don't even do it.
The Alessi twins' first appearance was early 1990, so who knows? Maybe I'm right.
Oh, that would be great.
He kind of looks like Gary Glitter as well.
That is unfortunate, especially considering the episode. Yes.
Yes, and I was kind of like, oh, please don't think this, but it's too late. I did, but no, it's all innocent fun.
Oh, no, not really.
No, he wants to murder a child.
Yeah, but he's washing his hair. He's he's kneading it in.
Creepy. He's disappointed that he's got to shoot at the child rather than torture him to death.
Yeah, I guess he's a dodgy guy.
Yeah,
that does look like Gary Glitter.
He really hates kids. I think he really hates kids because they rightfully mock him for his ridiculous appearance. Get you back.
I just like the idea that he thought he was going to be able to sneak up on them dressed the way he was with bells in his hair.
Yeah. It's the bells that set him off first. Upon I was like, what the fuck is jingling? And he's just goes like, oh, I dropped my loose change. Where is it? Patting himself down kind of thing. It's like, dude, you're not going to do it. You look like nothing else looks like around here.
He's staring intently at their backs, Polnareff is like, what are you staring at, you creep? You're an enemy standing user, I bet, aren't you? But, no, I'm not. Like, I wonder, when the menacing comes up on the screen, like, can Can the guy see that?
Is that the sound Polnareff heard and not the bells? He heard the menacing sound effect.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe that it's like a secondary stand effect.
You can hear the sounds menacing.
Yes.
I think Polnareff said, I can see your eyes have the deadly intent.
Murderous intent.
That was it. Yes.
Yeah. And he says, they're not. They're my parents' eyes.
Yeah, Polnareff generated the sound effect stare as well, didn't
yes,
he?
I love that.
It kind of rolled down his cheek. Like the symbols, like, yeah.
Alessi Brothers.
Hats off to Polnareff. He got it.
The Alessi Brothers had one UK hit, apparently. Oh, Laurie, in 1977.
That long ago.
I don't know if I've ever heard it.
Considering I've never heard of the Alessi Brothers.
No, I've never heard of them either.
Till now, it's...
Had you heard of Cars for this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I use one to get to work every day.
No, the band!
Yes, okay, yes.
Just putting these musical tastes out there. Okay, besides the pigtails and the bells and stuff, what's the deal with the old lady glasses?
I kind of like the glasses.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're less old lady and more... I don't know, kind of John Lennon wannabe.
No, he does look more like a secretary in his office in America.
Yeah. I guess. He's a dodgy looking character. But I love the look of his stand, so I'll give him minus points for the bells, plus points for the stand.
I do like the way when the stand was holding the axe, it's like, it's not a reflection of the hand, it's the hand... as a shadow, so it's holding the axe backwards. I'm not exactly sure.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
I just want to know after Silver Chariot Baby, his blade ricochets and then gets Alessi in the neck, and then on Polnareff to escape. We see this later on, you know, we see that he's been crying in the meantime over the, getting stabbed in the neck. Whatever, the blood is all over his neck. He's trying to clutch in the wound. Also, you can see he's clearly been crying and bawling in a most disgusting manner.
Yeah.
not used to this kind of thing.
It's like, what? Generally, I turn him into a kid and just shoot him.
Will we see the other characters as kids next week? Will we see Jotaro as a child?
I'm going to keep Mom on there.
Oh, okay. I hope so, because I think he'd look hilarious.
I would like to see a baby Joseph with a beard, but, you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
We already know what he looks like as a young man anyway. So.
Yeah, but we don't know what he looks like with a baby with a beard.
What horror film is this?
I'm wondering whether he's doing horror films anymore.
I thought it was just like reverse Big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because after your cracking theory about it being Ernest goes to jail or whatever it was. I wonder if he's just moved off horror films for these lot.
He's just doing his favourite movies now.
What did I see in the cinema this week?
Actually, when was Big out?
1988.
Oh, shit. You were out.
And there was a lot of other similar things around the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like Freaky 18 Friday again and...
Yeah.
No, Freaky Friday was the one which wasn't around that point.
I thought that was a remake.
Yeah, but the remake was much later than... So the original was much earlier than Big, and the remake was much later than Big.
Right.
It's a story you can recycle and use again to great effect. I think we need a modern day Big.
I think we have... Well, no, we had Zac Efron and Matthew Perry swapping bodies, didn't they, in one?
Was it Matthew Perry? For Chandler from Friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in that. I knew it was Zac Efron, but I didn't know it was him.
Was this?
I think that's right.
That wasn't 13 going on 30. No, that's the other way around.
17 again. Yeah.
17 again. Okay. See, it's a tried and proven method of good storytelling.
Is the stand design based off something? Because it's really freaky, the weird sort of spinning top head with the human eyeballs.
Couldn't find it, no. I was on the tarot card or whatever, it's supposed some kind of Birdman thing, and that's the way it looks like based on. You're supposed to be able to see the stand form, and I kind of turned his head in profile and all the beacon things, and it looks similar to that again, but
Unless the top of the head is supposed to be a beak or something.
Yeah, or some kind of, like, crest or, like, you know, maybe it's some kind of, like, cockatoo cardinal or something like that. Like, you know, I always thought Set was, like, some kind of wild dog, you know, with Anubis was a jackal. I thought, like, Set was, like, some kind of, other kind of wild canine thing, but I guess I was wrong.
So best episode yet?
I just think it was very good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's pretty good. It's about par, you know, but there have been episodes I've enjoyed more. Well, and there's definitely the one after the next one I'm looking forward to, possibly even my entire life.
This one has to be the most uncomfortable I've been in JoJo for a while now.
I don't know, last week's was kind of setting us up with the whole Avdol and Joseph getting very close, and then this just knocked it out of the park. The humor, I was creased. It was great. It was hilarious.
Well, but for dogs sparring at people's faces, that's not gonna laugh out of me.
Oh, actually, another thing in the way JoJo wasn't on the ball today. He sees a little kid with silver hair that's spiked up, and he's like, "Hey, have you seen like a French dude with a haircut like yours?" Also, he's wearing exactly those clothes. I mean, like, literally, those are the same size clothes that he wears. Because who else wears, like, a leather top?
Nobody would realize that. Nobody.
But maybe fans are weird, dude. Anything could happen.
I guess anything could happen. But that is, like, the extreme. But I would not believe it. I would have been with Jotaro walking off.
Like, if I was these guys, and I saw Joseph walk around the corner, and then a particularly, like, fuzzy, gray-haired dog came around the other side, I would assume it was Joseph. And that was a stand user, because you just assume these things. Anything can happen, dude. The last stand was a plug.
That's true. Anything can happen.
One last thing I just remembered is that right near the start, when they're looking for Avdol and Joseph, is Polnareff says that this sort of thing wouldn't have happened to him.
That was perfect. I was like around that scene as well. Jotaro was saying, regard down Polnareff. They're like, "Who do you think I am, Jotaro? Who do you think you're talking to? I'm not talking to you, Polnareff, with a history of this thing happening to you."
And sure enough, it does again.
If the old, you get a little bit kind of faked out, and saying, I got you stand out, I said, come up behind me, but didn't realize that all it takes is like 1 second, one little brush off of your own shadow for it to take an effect on you.
Yeah. I think Jotaro just thought that not even Polnareff would have been foolish enough to get himself turned into a child.
I was just thinking this was nearly a reversal of Polnareff's luck with bathrooms. Until obviously a creepy dude starts walking his hair. Then it becomes the same problem again. Yeah, bathrooms are a problem. I assume that's why Jotaro checked the bathroom in the hotel room, and Polnareff stayed in the room. He's like, I'm not going anywhere near it.
It's probably like a standard disguise as a faucet. It's going to like come alive and strangle you or something like that, and I'm not going to have no part of it. The toilet will turn into a swirling vortex, and it was like pull you into the emotional pocket, never be seen again.
Well, we have seen a stand that could potentially turn into a toilet, and we've seen a stand that's made of water, so yeah, that could totally happen.
Like, Rick comes along, we fought that guy and that guy, how about both of us at the same time?
Man, he keeps pulling weird powers out of his bag of tricks. I quite like it. It's, you never know what the next stand is gonna be. I mean, like, I guess Anubis was the most normal one for a long time.
But that wasn't normal at all, because it didn't actually have a user.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say the most kind of straightforward one was possibly Geb and then Duel. It's just like, it's just like a, it's made out of water, it's just living water, it'll murder you and it attacks by a sound. That seemed pretty... There are clear rules to this thing, we'll be able to figure it out. Where it's like, don't know if the sword can possess you, it's a plug, can make you into a magnet, I guess it turns you, the shadow turns you into a baby. What's happening? Let's go back to the guy, the first guy. Just fight 9 of him. We had to beat that guy.
So is this another case of Dio did not save the best for last? Because this guy seems kind of crap.
I think he seems really good.
I mean, like, he was smart enough to bring a gun. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
And an axe.
It ain't over yet.
Just got to get that shadow to touch all of them, and then...
It's over?
Because he mentions that it's his Polnareff's stand as a child, because he had his stand, didn't he?
Yeah,
early he was on. Yeah. So it's possible that he would be the only one who had a stand turned into a child. The other ones may not have.
No, Abdol would, because he had his...
Abdol would as well, yes, but...
Yeah.
But the others not so much. Anyway, that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo, so be back here next week for Setsalesi Part 2. Ooh. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and at dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye!
Ciao!
Very good.
Oi.
With the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a prop, braces, laces, a candle for the moth. Bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.